Today we're going to be doing a singing service. We do this from time to time. We're going to look at a few scriptures, consider what the Bible says, and then sing some hymns that will help us to put those into action in our worship. And so what I want to do for this morning is to look at some psalms. And Ephesians 5:19 tells us that as Christians, when we sing in our song service, that we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And of course, many of the songs in our songbooks are written by people that are uninspired, but they reflect inspired truths. However, we do have in the Bible inspired psalms that are given by God, and it's important to notice these and the truths that they teach. The first psalm that I could think of as far as farther back in the Bible was something that God actually gave to Moses, because he knew Israel would worship other gods and not worship him. And so in Deuteronomy 31, verse 19, God says to Moses, "Write this song for you, teach it to the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that the song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." And so the first psalm that we really see in the Bible is not something that is our response to God so much as him giving a witness of himself to us. And the book of Psalms is filled with God giving a message to us for us to think about. You think about how many of the Psalms were written by David. And David is called in 2 Samuel 23, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he says in verse 2 of that chapter, right after that he's called the sweet psalmist of Israel, that he said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." So I want to take a few moments this morning to consider just three psalms and how they relate to our worship of God, and particularly in regard to how it relates to Jesus. You see, Jesus was somebody that was made like us. He came to this earth and he lived as a man, and he lived in God's nation of Israel as part of his people. And so he identifies with us, and the book of Hebrews mentions how Jesus became one with us. Just like a man would worship God, Jesus became one and sings with us in that sense. And so it says in Hebrews 12:10, "It became him from whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." So Hebrews 2 and verse 12 is actually a quote from Psalm 22 and verse 22, and it's applied by the writer of Hebrews to Jesus calling us brethren, and that God would declare, Jesus would declare God's name among his brethren in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the church, he would sing praise. And of course, Psalm 22 is this messianic psalm that begins with those famous words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus said that on the cross. There are other things that obviously point to Jesus' death on the cross, like verse 6 of that psalm says that Jesus says he is a reproach of men. He's despised by the people. All that see him laugh him to scorn, and they shoot at the lip. You remember how they did that when he was hanging on the cross. And it says that they shake their head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him." In verse 15 of that psalm, it says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me to the dust of death." You remember how Jesus said that he thirsted on the cross. And he says, "For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked has enclosed me." And notice this, "they pierced my hands and my feet." An obvious reference to the crucifixion, which was not in vogue in the time that David wrote this psalm of Psalm 22, but was the Roman means of execution. And then, of course, verse 16, "they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture," which they did for Jesus' seamless robe. But he prays to God to deliver his soul. And in verse 22, after he is delivered, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, he's delivered by God. Then you have this great praise that "I will declare your name unto my brethren," that's us, "and in the midst of the church, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to you." So think about how Jesus lived in this world in order to die for us. And he was somebody that was familiar with the Psalms. He was somebody that, in fact, sang many of these Psalms because they were part of his songbook as a Jewish man living in the first century. And so Jesus, before, you remember, he went out to the garden to be crucified, it said that they sung an hymn. I don't know what kind of voice Peter had or John or Philip. You know, some people today say, well, I don't have a very good voice. But you know what the Bible teaches in Hebrews 2, verse 12, just like what happened in Matthew 26, verse 30, you know, Jesus sings with us in the midst of the church. I will sing praise to God. And so Jesus was somebody who sang, and what would it have been like, you know, if you were Peter or John or Philip or one of the 12 disciples, what would it have been like? You might have not had the best voice in the world, but you would be singing with Jesus. And so think about what he did for us in dying for us in Psalm 22, and how when we sing with Jesus.
We'll sing number 145.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone, and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still amore me, sorrows past I often dread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the saint ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
In Romans chapter 15, we have another statement about singing. And Jesus not only sang with his brethren as part of the Jewish nation, singing those psalms that were given by God, singing that hymn before he went out to the garden to be betrayed and to be crucified for us. But he's also the fulfillment of all the promises that God made to the beginning patriarchs of that nation. And in Romans 15, verse 7, the Bible says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Now I say that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah said, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust." Now, this first quote, that "I will sing praise to your name among the Gentiles," comes from Psalm 18, verse 49, and also 2 Samuel 22, 50, where it sums up David's psalms and what he said. And so you have God's name being declared even in Old Testament Israel. When David is writing this psalm in Psalm 18, God's name is being declared, notice, among the Gentiles. You see, yes, God worked through a particular nation, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, but all along he had a plan to bless all nations through Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 12, you remember when the promise was initially made to Abraham, that God said, "In your seed, I will bless all nations." And of course, we know Galatians 3 says that that seed is Jesus Christ. And so David would praise the name of the Lord among even the Gentiles, among even people that were not part of God's covenant people. And of course, we realize all of those promises today through Jesus Christ. As Galatians chapter 3 tells us, that we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so, in a sense, our praise to God, the singing that we have and the worship that we have to God, can also be evangelistic. We not only sing with Jesus, but as we can sing about Jesus, and other people can want to know who he is and want to be part of his covenant people today, the church. And so, we should not be people that just go about life trying to make the world think that we're not Christians, and then when we're actually put into a corner, we have to admit, "Yes, I am a Christian." But we can be people that are free to worship our God and be giving praise to his name, and be people that immediately are willing to say that, and other people want to have that type of zeal as well. And so our worship can actually be evangelistic. You remember in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul mentions how the whole church came together into one place, and they had those problems with the miraculous gifts, that some were speaking in tongues. And he said, if there comes in an unbeliever into your assembly, your worship assembly, and he hears you speaking in these unknown tongues and there's no interpreter, won't he say that you're crazy? But if you prophesy, if you really point out what God has to say in a language he can hear, then he will be convinced of all, he'll be judged of all, and the secrets of his heart will be made manifest. And what will happen? So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And so sometimes as Christians, we're not really ready to tell the world how great it is to be a Christian, what we ought to be. And our worship in that way can be evangelistic. And so let's not just sing with Jesus. Let's sing about Jesus to the world, because he really is Lord of all. And he wants all men to come to him, even the Gentiles, to take part in the promises that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords over all nations.
We'll be singing two songs, number 148, the first and last verses, and then number 291, the first and second verses. If you care to, please stand for these two songs.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, graders, judges all, praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Please be seated.
As other psalms point toward Jesus Christ, the last one I want us to look at is Psalm 15, where, though Jesus is not specifically mentioned, he immediately comes to our mind when we try to answer the questions that are posed in that psalm. In Psalm 15, David writes, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not his own money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved." When we think about somebody that is holy, that is righteous, that is willing to do what he has promised to do to God, even to his own hurt. And none of us do that perfectly, except one, Jesus Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 3, it says about us as humans that we have both before proved that Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Certainly, it could be said of all of us that we are like sheep that have gone astray. And in Romans 3, verse 23, the truth is made evident in this statement. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is one exception. There's only one person who is sinless, and for that reason could be a sin sacrifice for us, and that's Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "Hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins by his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 5, John sees the great throne room of heaven. And it says there that he saw at the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And he saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, nor to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And in verse 6, "He behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb." We're expecting a lion, but notice, here stands a lamb. "As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And then notice verse 9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Later on, when the victory is had over death and over all of the persecutions of God's people, in chapter 15 and verse 3 of Revelation, we find that the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb are sung. And they sing, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." And so we have the song of the Lamb. As we began this morning, we were talking about the song that God gave to Moses in Deuteronomy 31. In the last book of the Bible, the song of Moses is added then to the song of the Lamb, the only one that was worthy to come and to take that scroll that was on the right hand of the Father that sat on that throne. And so certainly Jesus is the only one worthy of our praise. The Lord is the only one worthy. None of us are sinless, but he is. And so we should praise his name.
Number 656.
Worthy of praise is Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor, and power, worthy of all our soul's adoration. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lift up thy voice in praise and devotion. Saints of all earth before him should bow. Angels in heaven worship him, saying, worthy art thou, worthy art thou, worthy of riches, blessings, and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory, and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lord, may we come before Thy Spirit, wisdom and power. May we ascribe Thee glory and honor. Worthy art Thou, worthy art Thou, worthy of riches, blessings and honor, worthy of wisdom, glory and power, worthy of earth and heaven's thanksgiving, worthy art Thou, worthy art Thou.
We want to extend the invitation to anybody that hasn't become a Christian by obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus invites us all to come, and you know, we were really made to worship him. And so if you're not a Christian, we would invite you to become one by listening to what Jesus has to tell you. If you want to be one of his, you have to follow his words. Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins." John 8:24. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you'll perish." Luke 13:3. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And then Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so we invite you to come to the Lord, make sure that you're one of his, and then when this life is over, you can join in with that great throng that will worship him forever and ever when this life is over. Maybe you've done the first things and you've wandered away. Jesus also said in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." And so if you need to come back, we would invite you to do so. Maybe it's a sin of a public nature, or maybe it's just something that you need the prayers of the church that you're struggling with. It might not be a sin, but it might be just something that you need the community here of Christians to pray with you and the family of God to support you in what you're going through. We're here to help you, and we want to give all glory and honor to Jesus Christ, because he's really what it's all about. And so if you haven't become a Christian, please come. And if you have then and have wandered away, please come back. We invite you to come, whether together we stand, while we sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus. Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today.
Please be seated.